Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are tying in and listening to or watching the Brain Lady Speaks podcast. I am Julie Anderson, also known as Brain Lady Julie, and I am honored that you are taking the time to spend with myself and my guest today. And we have an amazing, we're having so much fun prior to the clicking record in our conversation. And I am, again, very, very happy and excited to have Miss Mariki Stein on the Brain Lady Speaks show today. Or is it Steen? Is it Steen?
It's Steen, yeah.
It's Steen, Mariki Stein. Yeah. Especially excited because she has graced us with her presence from Belgium. So we are keeping her up late tonight for this very special interview, and I'm very excited for the conversation that we're going to have. So before we start that conversation, let me give you a little bit of that professional background on her so you know where she's coming from, because she's quite the amazing woman. Mariki is a functional nutritionist and migraine coach. She helps women in their 40s to ditch their migraines and love and live a normal life. She is on a mission to help as many women as possible discover migraine and hormone freedom. She is the creator of Migraine Freedom, a program that helps women to get at the root cause of their migraines and balance the sources of inflammation to get pain-free. She has been featured in the Hormonally Speaking podcast and the 2021 Hormone Summit. When she isn't speaking about migraines, gut health, or hormones, you'll find her outside in nature, cooking, hunting for herbs and veggies at the farmer's market, exercising and trying new relaxation techniques, or hanging out with friends. I love that. I love that. If we weren't so far away, we'd have to go hunting for those fresh fruits and veggies together. So welcome to the show.
Too. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Julie. I'm really honored to be on your show.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun conversation because, as my listeners know, I am a real brain geek. And I was explaining, we were talking off camera prior to recording, that I have recently gone through some additional training dealing with the effects of hormones and the brain. And it never ceases to fascinate me how intricately connected every single system in our body is, and how the gut health, because you specialize in gut health too, how the gut affects the brain and the functioning of the hormones. And if one system is slightly off, the whole thing can shift. And it's just
same here.
Yeah, it's just so fascinating. So let me just start with a little bit. I always like to find out from my guests kind of what led them down into this career or into this area of specialty. Like this is pretty specific, dealing with hormones, not just a regular, you know, nutritionist across the board, but you've really focused in on the hormones and the gut health. So what kind of led you in your life to this point where you've built this business around this topic?
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of for same for everyone. It's my own story, right? So I've been dealing with migraines almost my whole life. I had them ever since I was 3 years old, up until I was, I guess, 30, 35. I never thought my migraines would be linked to hormonal issues I just went, you know, when I was in my 20s, I just went on the pill, and I kept on having migraines, but basically, I never thought there would be a connection. I also had digestive issues for most of my life. And basically, when I came to my early 30s, I kind of hit rock bottom, you could say, where just all the things came together, and I went off the pill. I didn't have my period anymore, and I just had a lot of stress, and my hormones were crazy, and like my blood markers were just, my liver markers were off the chart, my thyroid was crazy, and it was just a whole mess. And I had, I felt like I couldn't eat anything anymore. I was reacting to everything. I had eczema for years that wouldn't go away. And I just had about seen every doctor and tried everything and was about out of choices, I guess. And at one point I've always been like, you know, a health nut, interested in doing everything the natural way. And I knew a lot about like exercise and healthy living, and I was taking supplements, but I just hit that point where I was like, okay, nobody seems to be able to help me. And I'm just sick of trial and erroring. I just want to know now. I don't want to just, you know, try this and see if it works or not. I just want to know how my body works. And so I went back to studying, and that helped me a great deal already with getting started with gut healing. Mm-hmm. And then I actually went on further trainings, really going into deep dive into microbiome and food sensitivities. And then the next steps was the hormones. So I was kind of my own guinea pig, you could say. And so I was, yeah. And you know, once I kept into these trainings, I just kept on going, you know. Then I did hormone, and then I get hormones, and I did blood chemistry. And so last training I did was also more deep dive, because I really wanted to know more about migraines and how does the brain work and autoimmune disease. So that's basically the last training that I did. And so I'm kind of this, you know, curious person who likes to understand. And as you said, I'm always fascinated, like, oh my gosh, you know, this like kind of all works together. And now I actually can read so many things, like, when something happens in my cycle, I know exactly what happens. And I mean, that's also making me, I guess, feel safer, being like a kind of an anxious type A person. So that's really helpful, I find. And I really want to share that with as many women as possible, because I mean, what I see is that so many women actually don't, and I didn't really know what's going on in my body, what are hormones doing, or, you know, what's going on when I have my period, or when I don't have it, or so I mean, I think it's all important information that I just really want to share with women.
That's, I love that story. It's out of necessity came your desire. Sorry, we have a little extra visitor here. My dog's right here going, pet me, pet me. it's when we have those life experiences, you know, it kind of causes us to get desperate when you're not finding it in the medical, you know, in the traditional medical platform. And it's interesting to me that things like migraines really aren't about the head. Right? Like, it's not always about the head. It's not always about, I mean, yes, that you're the symptoms are coming up here. You're feeling it here, but it's something in your hormone. It can be
the brain actually doesn't feel pain, right?
Right.
Although we feel so much pain when we do have a migraine, but it's all about the neurotransmitters and basically what's been communicated to the brain. So,
yeah. So it's fascinating. And as we were discussing before, you know, I've just recently finished a training myself that talked all about the different hormones for men and for women, the progesterone, the estrogen, the testosterone, the primary hormones. There are secondary hormones, obviously, but those primary hormones that we see in both the XX combination and the XY combination, men and women. And it's just fascinating, some of the statistics. And now I fully understand, here I am at 57 years old, and I just now really understand that whole hormonal cycle clearly that a woman goes through and how that affects her brain and the neurotransmitters, the dopamine, the serotonin, all this kind of stuff. But we had you had said to us, and this is the title of this particular, although I think we're going to talk about a lot of things, that women are actually at higher risk of Alzheimer's and dementia. Yeah. And in the study that I was doing, this recent class that I said, they brought that out, that women, if you have had a hysterectomy, that causes disruption in that hormonal balance, and you're at twice the risk of developing Alzheimer's. So cue us in on that. Give us some information, because that's just like, if you're in your 20s and your 30s, you really want to know this information. So what is that correlation? Why is it that women are at higher risk?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to scare anyone here or say that, you know, all women will get Alzheimer's. I mean, there's different factors, of course, right? And like the first one is the genetic one. You know, if you have the APOA gene, you have a higher risk of getting Alzheimer's. But even if you do have that, it doesn't mean that you will get it, because with lifestyle and also, you know, keeping your hormones balanced and having the right lifestyle, and diet, you can actually do a lot to counter that. So why I was saying this is basically women are at higher risk, and it's basically because of three hormones. So the first one is estrogen, the second one is cortisol, and the third one is insulin. So, I mean, we often actually don't think, you know, when we think of hormones, we think estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and that's it, right?
Right.
But cortisol and insulin are two very important hormones, especially for women. So cortisol, for anyone who doesn't know, is our stress hormone. So our adrenal glands will secrete cortisol when we're stressed. And actually, our brain doesn't make a difference. You know, our brain doesn't make a difference what type of stressor it is. It can be... It can just be over-exercising. It can be having a lot of stress at work. It can be just really having financial worries, or it can also be inflammation in your gut or unbalanced blood sugar. These things are all stressing out our brain and our system, and they will basically trigger the release of our stress hormone cortisol. And that that will have an effect on our blood sugar balance. And then we come into insulin. So insulin is a hormone that's secreted by our pancreas when we are eating just any type of meal. But if we're eating a lot of carbs or high sugar or maybe too much in one meal, we have an excess of glucose, and our pancreas is producing the insulin to balance out that excess glucose. But basically, if we have too much blood sugar, we have a constant high blood sugar, and that's called insulin resistance, and that can actually lead to that can eventually lead to Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is even already now referred to as type 3 diabetes, because
that, yeah.
There's so much evidence now that basically blood sugar imbalances will affect the brain. And it's because that constant high blood sugar will create inflammation in the brain. Mm-hmm. And that will lead to the accumulation of the amyloid plaques that happen with Alzheimer's. And so, you know, it's not when you're insulin resistant, it doesn't mean that immediately you will get Alzheimer's, but basically you're at a higher risk and you're on the way to. And why is that more important for women? Is because when we go through this perimenopause and into menopause, basically we are more prone to insulin resistance. And that's because our estrogen levels decline. Our estrogen levels actually have an impact on our blood sugar. And I actually recently did just a little project on myself with a continuous glucose monitor. And so I was measuring my blood sugar levels in the second week of my follicular phase, which is the first phase of our cycle. And I measured the first week of the luteal phase, which is the second week of our cycle. So in the basically in the first 2 weeks in the follicular phase, our estrogen levels are basically ramping up and getting to a peak. And then in the second phase of the cycle, in the luteal phase, estrogen drops and progesterone comes up. And so basically I wanted to really test that and see what the impact is, because I've been telling my clients, pay attention, you know, in the luteal phase, you need to be careful with carbs because you don't have that estrogen, you know, your progesterone is higher then. So that's really when you need to stay away from the carbs and the sugars and everything. Although many women have cravings then.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And from a chemical point of view, what's going on is that progesterone is basically preparing your body to carry a child. So those same things that you would experience if you're pregnant are going to be the things that you experience during that high progesterone. So all those cravings and all those things, that kind of happens in that same section of your cycle.
Yeah, that's true. Although I always feel that basically the better we eat in the first phase of our cycle, sure, the less we are actually impacted in the second phase. But yeah, basically coming back to that experiment. So I was measuring my blood sugar, and when I was having the same meals, and there was a 10-point difference in the second phase of my cycle, my blood sugar was 10 points higher, although I was eating the same thing.
Interesting.
So I found that really powerful to actually see that kind of data for myself.
Interesting.
As kind of a proof really for that. So yeah, basically estrogen has a big impact on our blood sugar sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And when the closer we actually get to menopause, the less estrogen we will have. And that's different for every woman, right? For me, it started pretty early and it's kind of going very gradually, but I mean, some women will not have any symptoms, and at 48 they will just go boom into menopause. And so I mean, it's different for every woman, right? So it doesn't mean that every woman will have these symptoms or will experience it at this degree. It's just true that estrogen is declining for all of us. It's just for some women it's going more gradually, and for some mm-hmm. women it just really like goes down like that, and they just go into the switch into menopause. So
yeah, now that's so interesting. So obviously it affects women more because men don't have that cyclic thing going on that messes with the cortisol and the insulin. And I have heard that the statement that, you know, insulin or diabetes is now being, or Alzheimer's is now being considered almost that type 3 diabetes because of how devastating it is on, or how devastating the not eating right and having too much sugars in your too much insulin into your body is for your brain. So it never ceases to amaze me how every single thing we do, from the way we breathe to the way we, you know, interact with nature, to the way we eat, to the way we think, how all of those things affect our brain health in either a positive or a negative way based on what we're doing. So we understand that, and you kind of explain the insulin resistance piece of it. And this might be a good time to throw out, whether it's reaching out to Mariki or a health professional, if you are experiencing a lot of these imbalances or anything, any of these symptoms, then reach out. Double check with your doctor. Anything that we're going to say here, take as interesting information, but verify everything with who you are currently interacting with. And if you're not satisfied with that physician or medical practitioner, then by all means reach out to someone like Mariki and get things checked before you just all of a sudden make a dramatic shift, right? Because I have to always do that little disclaimer that it isn't medical advice.
Yeah,
you want to
sure.
actually
yeah.
Yeah, you want to actually have that professional consultation. This is just really more informational, but it's fascinating, and it really should help or make women stop and think and pay attention. So when we know that the insulin resistance or diabetes, any of that, is really hazardous on the brain in so many ways. And then, of course, it leads to those neurological degenerative diseases or dysfunctions. What are some...
The first one is brain fog, right? I mean, how many women experience brain fog in perimenopause? Mm-hmm. And that's usually the blood sugar talking when you go like, you go into a room or you're searching for your keys and you have them in your hand, or you go like, you go somewhere and you're like, oh, you don't actually remember what you were about to do right now, or you're searching for your words, you know, not remembering things. So this kind of foggy thinking or cloudy brain, that's an inflamed brain. But it's also, to be fair, it's also something that will happen to all women once they really go into menopause, when your estrogen levels get so low. There's so many estrogen receptors in our brain. And when the estrogen levels really drop, our brain actually needs some time to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. So really, when we go into menopause, everyone will experience brain fog or these kind of memory lapses. And that will actually get better once we are postmenopausal, when our brain has adjusted to that.
That's good. So a lot of perimenopausal and menopausal women right now are going, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You mean it's going to be okay? So connect it to, you specialize in migraines was one of the, you know, one of the three main things that I think we said you specialize in. What's that connection between hormonal imbalance and migraines? Because there's so many. And I got to tell you, I've been in a couple of bad car accidents in my life and really messed up,
sorry,
you know, the neck, and we live and we just go with it. But there are times when I'm grabbing that ibuprofen and I'm, you know, I do my little cocktail of the ibuprofen and the extra strength Excedrin, which is our painkillers here. But what we tend to do that in the moment, because we're in that kind of that anxiety of I need to handle this right now. But when you're talking about something like a migraine, how can we, individuals who experience that, how can they look at things in their lifestyle or their diet, because you're a nutritionist, how can they look at that and say, well, wait a minute, maybe this isn't what it needs to be. I can address this without having to go get the migraine drugs that may be very hazardous to my internal organs or have, you know, negative side effects or, you know, put me out for 24 hours. Like, how can you kind of work at preventing that ahead of time through your daily activities, meaning your nutrition, how you're feeding your body?
Yeah, and that's actually what you said. It's all about prevention, really, in migraine. I mean, once you get to that stage where you have a migraine attack, I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
And I mean, often taking the, you know, for many people, even taking the strongest drugs, that doesn't even help them anymore at that stage. But what you need to do is really trying to not to get to that attack, right? And there's so many different causes for migraine. So basically, I mainly work with the hormonal migraines. And that's basically, so it's also something that often comes up in perimenopause, because we have these hormonal imbalances, you know, mm-hmm. because first the progesterone drops and then the anxiety might get higher. And we always have a phase in perimenopause where we probably can't avoid estrogen dominance. And that's why also many women at that age get cysts, fibrocystic breasts, or they get cysts in their ovaries. This is all due to estrogen dominance. And I mean, it's all something we can correct, actually, but I don't know why not so many doctors are looking at this. It drives me crazy, actually, when I hear about women like getting their organs taken out. And I mean, I have a friend, she started with endometriosis. Then she had fibroids in her breast. So she had the fibroids removed, and she has Hashimoto's. And I said to her, oh my God, I mean, when are you going to address this estrogen dominance? I mean, this is why you're having all these things, and you're just getting organs taking out, and you're actually not addressing the root cause. I mean, at one point, right. There will be nothing left to take out, right?
So, right.
So yeah. That just really drives me crazy. But coming back to your question, sorry.
No, I love that you threw that point of view in there, that in there, because women are so desperate at this point. They're just like, you know, whatever, take out the source, but that's not really the source. It's the imbalance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
So, yeah, I mean, as I said, for migraines, there can be so many things. And for me, they were definitely also related to my gut health. Because I had a lot of inflammation in my gut, and that's also, I mean, it can be sometimes in my case, it was a history of, you know, when I grew up, when I was a little baby, basically doctors thought I had rheumatoid arthritis, and they just fed me with meds. So they just gave me very very strong medication for that. And I didn't have it and I didn't need the medication, but it just messed up my microbiome for the rest of my life. So, I mean, these things, you know, taking all this medication, it will really affect our microbiome. And that can also happen with people who actually have migraine and didn't have any gut issues, but they will probably have them now since they've been taking like all these drugs that will affect their gut health. So there's so much, and there's also toxicity. So I have a client mm-hmm. who has hormonal migraines, but when we actually did the first session together, I was like, oh my gosh, you have mold toxicity. And I mean, we did the test and I was right. She does have mold toxicity. And so she does have a lot of histamine accumulation, which leads, mm-hmm. which basically histamine and estrogen are very closely linked. So the more histamine you have, the more estrogen you will produce. And then the more estrogen you will produce, the more histamine will be released. So it's really like a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And the histamine comes from the mold that she's reacting to. So she has hormonal migraines and she has a wealth of other, you know, health issues and all kinds of digestive issues. But she also had this really, you know, I hear that for many migraineurs also the reflux. And mm-hmm. she did have that. So she was just popping the antacids all day long. And so I talked to her about this. And basically we discovered she probably never actually had acid reflux. She it was kind of the same sensation that was caused by the histamine reaction that she was having. I mean, it can be, you know, toxicity, it can be gut issues, it can be blood sugar imbalances, it can be dehydration. And often it's actually like all the things.
Right. A little bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not just the hormones and then if your blood sugar is imbalanced, your hormones will likely not be balanced. So right. I mean, that can always also play into that. So I mean, as you said, it's just always everything is always kind of connected, right? And that's also and then depending on your genetic profile, it may be that you have that you're basically a type of person who's prone to having migraines. Mm-hmm. So there's you know, BDNF that make us prone to migraines, and those people also have a higher risk for Alzheimer's actually. And there's also the histamine aspect. So some people will have a slower capacity to decompose histamine. So there's mm-hmm. specific enzymes in our genetic profile that will make us decompose histamine at a faster or slower rate. And that may be also true for migraineurs that, you know, have an accumulation of histamine. So they may be paying attention to eating foods that are high in histamine and making sure we can also have histamine producing bacteria in our gut that will actually mm-hmm. attribute or, you know, add on to a histamine load for that.
Yeah.
I actually had a client who has had this on his gut panel. And so he's an athlete. And I told him that, you know, when you're working out, you're also producing histamine naturally. Your body is producing histamine. So, I mean, are you experiencing, do you have like any rashes on your skin or something? And he said, you know what? I actually went to the dermatologist the other day, because when I go for a run and I get into the shower, it's like my skin is burning. I can almost not stand. And I said, well, there you go. So
yeah,
once we're through with the gut healing and we reduce those histamine producing bacteria, you will probably feel a lot better already.
Yeah. So fascinating. So fascinating. So now everybody who's listening is going, oh my gosh, I am going to die of, I'm going to have Alzheimer's and I'm going to have gut issues and I'm going to hesitate and I'm just going to give up and I'm just going to eat whatever I want to be eating, be happy. So let's talk practical solutions, because here's the beautiful thing that one of the things, and I tell people what started me on my journey into the brain was, it's now been about 27 years ago. I was fascinated, like you, I was fascinated with just our body and how amazing it is and how it's interconnected and why some people are sick and other people don't, you know, can be in the same environment, but don't get sick. Just the emotions. I was fascinated. And I always ate healthy. I tended to, when I was in my late teens, I was a health nut. Like I was eating very healthy, very organic. Nothing that was processed. I made all the baby food, natural baby food from fruits and vegetables for my first son. I will say I've had three boys and my first boy got the best, but my second boy was born premature, long story, lots of health issues. And I kind of like stressed out. I still did organic, but I just didn't make it myself. I purchased it. At any rate, I was always fascinated with that. So once I had my three kids, I started studying for a degree in natural health. I wanted to be a doctor, have a PhD in natural health. And one of the courses was psychoneuroimmunology, which is a connection between your thoughts, your brain chemistry, and your immune system. And that kind of diverted me from that path. But I've always been fascinated with, if you give the body the right tools and you balance the body, then the body is going to have, and it's not all the time, right? There are some people who have chronic illnesses that the medication is absolutely imperative for their life. But most, or I should say a large percentage of the time, if you address what you're doing to your body, meaning physical exercise, keeping your stress levels low, those types of things, and what you're putting in your body, some of those symptoms can be corrected. Some of those ailments can be balanced out. So now let's look at the nutritional point of it. What can individuals listening, if they're not at that point where they're ready to have all the blood work done and all the panels done, what are just some good daily routines, patterns of eating, types of foods they should eliminate? I'm always like, get rid of anything that has partially hydrogenated oil. That is one of my pet peeves, right? Eat butter, not margarine. Just don't do it.
Yes.
Manage the
amount.
Thank
you. Amen.
Oh my gosh. If people really knew what that was made out of and why it was made, which is a whole nother show. So we won't get into it here, but it's just like artificial colors, artificial, all this stuff. So what advice would you give for the listeners who can say, you know, where do I start? Where do I start? How do I start to clean up my life? What are some things I can do nutritionally to start working on my body right now?
Yeah, and I think the easiest thing that I always say and recommend to women is start with a high fat and high protein breakfast. And there's so many people actually just have coffee for breakfast, or they will have like something sweet. And that's when our blood sugar is very sensitive in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're basically setting ourselves up for the blood sugar roller coaster. So we first have coffee and maybe have like, a croissant or something sweet with it, or maybe like a Lara bar or something, which is also full of sugar. Yes. So then we're actually at 10 a.m. I mean, if we have breakfast at 8 a.m. and then at 10 a.m. we're actually just hitting the first deep, the blood sugar crash that comes after that, and we need something else. So our brain wants more energy, right? It needs the sugar, it needs the glucose. So it basically calls you, I want sugar or I want coffee. I mean, that's the craving we get because our brain needs that energy. So we go on having the next snack or the next coffee, and it just kind of goes on in this kind of, 2-hour cycle all day, and it continues during the night. So we actually also don't sleep well. Yep. So that's really the best thing that you can do for your health is start with a good breakfast. And mm-hmm. I mean, also some people are doing fasting or are not having breakfast, but also be aware that if you just drink coffee, it will also spike your blood sugar because it does the caffeine basically triggers a cortisol response. So it triggers your stress hormone and that will mm-hmm. also impact your blood sugar. So sure. if you... I always say to my clients, like, if you do want to have coffee in the morning, no problem, but eat your breakfast first. So you have, have some eggs and have some veggies with it and basically have maybe some avocado with it. So there you would already have something that's, I always say fat, fiber, protein, FFP.
FFP.
So you need those three things in every meal that you have. And then after you had that meal, then you can have your coffee.
That's awesome. And I think another mistake that a lot of people do is thinking they're eating healthy and they're not. You mentioned a very popular bar that's like full of sugar. And people think because it says organic or it says natural or protein that now it's good, but there's so many hidden sugars and hidden things in our diet that if you don't turn it over, like yogurt is one of the things that just,
oh gosh, yes.
It just amazes me. You have, I'll just grab one of these fruit yogurts that's just very popular and they are so full of sugar. Yogurt in and of itself can be a healthy source of protein and fat. But that's
natural yogurt already has almost 5 grams of sugar. So that's more than enough, actually.
More than enough. Yeah. Yeah. So I always, when I have my, I get the plain, unsweetened, unflavored yogurt. And then I.
And that's really hard actually to find in the US, isn't it?
It is.
I remember the last time I was there, I was like, is there actually just natural, plain, like nothing in it? I mean, it's really hard to find.
You got to know where to look. We have a really good health food store up here in Nevada County. But, that, and then I use, if I want something sweet, then it's the fruit, then you put in the natural fruits, the berries that are so healthy for the brain, your blackberries, your raspberries, your strawberries, so healthy for the brain. Now, again, they are sugar. Yeah. So you certainly don't, you certainly want that in moderation, but that is so much healthier and so
also
much more natural.
What I recommend is not, if you do have fruit as a snack, don't eat them alone, but, eat a handful of almonds or some nuts with it. So you have again that protein and fat that will always help you to absorb that glucose spike in your blood.
Ooh, excellent tip.
Yeah, so basically and as I said, I mean the older we get, the more difficult it actually gets to keep our blood sugar balanced. So actually the foods that maybe we used to eat, we will see that, oh, actually now I'm gaining weight, and it's all kind of, I'm just getting this muffin top, it's just all on the belly. And that's a typical insulin resistance weight gain, really that kind of muffin top when your blood sugar is like high all the time and you're accumulating the body fat. So, really what you need to be careful with the foods that you always used to eat and that were always good for you. And now you actually see you can't anymore. And you feel like, oh, my body's betraying you. Or I'm like, I'm going crazy, but it's actually the lack of hormones. So, of course there's, bioidentical hormone therapy, and that's also hormone therapy. I always recommend bioidentical hormones mm-hmm. because they're the only hormones that actually do the exact thing that your real hormones are doing. But yeah, to an extent, you can also manage it with, you know, your food and your lifestyle. So, you know, starting your day with a high protein, high fat breakfast, make sure you have fat, fiber, and protein with every meal. And stress is a very important one. And that's also mm-hmm. basically once progesterone declines, we actually have a rise in cortisol. So we need to make sure that we take extra care. So it's really not the time anymore to run after caring for everyone else anymore, but taking care of ourselves or taking care of yourself.
Yes.
So it's really very important. And I know it's very difficult for many women who are just so used to just serving everyone else and not thinking about themselves. But this is really the time where you need to start doing that. And if you don't, at one point it will come back to you and then you will not have a choice anymore.
Yeah, very true. Your body starts to crash and you have to address it. So for those of you who might be younger and don't have a ton of these symptoms, now's the time to start paying very close attention to your self-care. People hear me all the time say, exercise, 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 because exercise, one of my favorite quotes, I don't know if you've seen the movie Legally Blonde, but Elle Woods and her whole explanation as to why her client couldn't have possibly killed her husband was that exercise creates endorphins. Endorphins make you happy, and happy people just don't shoot their husbands. So I'm a big I am a big proponent of exercise. I know that studies have shown about 40 minutes of cardiovascular daily is going to be so healthy for your brain, but it also has a great detoxifying effect. So when it comes to physical activity, what do you suggest for your clients?
Yeah, I definitely recommend exercise, but there also you need to listen to your body. And I mean, if you haven't exercised at all, like any exercise will feel hard, right? If you're just mm-hmm. getting started, it will feel like, oh God, I mean, this is so heavy. No, I don't, you know, I'm just going to sit down on the couch again. So, I mean, that's not the kind of listen to your body that I mean. I mean, in the sense that too much exercise is actually doing the contrary. So it's again, putting us in this stress spiral, it's stressing out our body, and it's actually not doing us any good. So,
moderation.
And
there,
everyone is different, and it also depends on, you know, what's kind of your threshold, right? If you're mm-hmm. if you're fit and you're in a good situation and you feel good and you don't have like, but then you can probably do much more than a person who already feels like, oh my gosh, you know, I have the kids and I have the job and oh, and I need to be cooking and you're juggling all these things and you already feel like, oh gosh, and oh, exercise, oh, okay. So, I mean, I think it's about many people think that, okay, well, I can't do 1 hour, so I'd rather not like do it at all mm-hmm. because I always say, you know, start with 5 minutes. And, you know, if your day is crazy, just get it when you get up in the morning, just, you know, do 5 push-ups if that's all you can do. And then just, you know, do it more and do 6 and 7 and 8 and maybe do a plank and then add some more. And as your body gets used to, you also, you know, you get into the habit, right, of doing it. And then you kind of create this dopamine and your brain wants to do it again, right?
So right.
That's kind of how you create a habit. But also if it's just walking, and I mean, I often recommend to my clients to just go for a walk around their lunch break if that's all the time mm-hmm. they have. But it's also basically getting them out of that office building and getting some fresh air. So yes. I always find that's always better than, you know, when you already have a crazy day, going to a CrossFit or to like a high intensity workout at night. It will probably not do you much good. And especially if you're already in this kind of hormone phase where your progesterone is declining, I think actually more gentler type of exercise, like, you know, maybe Nordic walking and yoga, and also really weight-bearing exercise is very important. in at the age of perimenopause and also menopause to maintain our bone density and stimulate bone growth, but also to make sure that you're not losing too much muscle mass, because our metabolism is going down, we're losing muscle mass, and we're losing bone mass. So, and that's all something that we can actually counteract with exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful advice. Wonderful advice. Okay. All right. So let's wrap this up. I want to make sure that anyone who has heard this conversation wants to stay in touch with Mariki can do so. So you have a hormone quiz, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's basically a quiz where it takes you through a wealth of symptoms that you, so you click, you know, do you have these symptoms, etc. And afterwards you get a key on basically understanding, you know, which type of hormone it was linked to and some tips that you can implement to balance out the imbalance.
The imbalance. Got it. Yeah. And then you also have a YouTube channel and Instagram, both. So people can stay connected with you. And I'm sure there's a wealth of great information on your YouTube channel. So I will be going in and clicking like on that. So
no, I just got started with that actually. So that's not that much, but yeah, I'm building it up.
That's okay. I'll be one of your fans and followers from the induction of it. So yeah. And then you can follow her on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. All of those, for those of you who are listening, they're going to be on the show page. So if you're listening as you're driving or something, then of course, always go to this episode. And you can also just check out her website too. Your website is it's just your name, correct? It's Mariki.
Yeah, it's just my name. And I actually just published my first, or I just brought up my first hormone and blood sugar balance cookbook. So that's also on the website now for anyone who wants to check that out.
Very, very cool. That's awesome. Okay. Once again, all of those links are there. This has been a wonderful conversation. Mariki, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Belgium on the show today on the Brain Lady Speaks show. It was a wonderful conversation. And as you can tell, I get really fired up when it's when we get to talk about all this.
It was such a pleasure talking to you.
So thank you for being here. And for those of you who want to stay connected with us with the Brain Lady Speaks podcast, our video cast, please, please, please follow us. Give us a thumbs up. You can go to brainladyspeaksradioshow.com or brainladyspeaks.com and find us on any of the channels that we're at. We also have the YouTube channel, Brain Lady Speaker, right? So join us, follow us, connect with us. These are valuable conversations for so many people. Perhaps you know someone who could really benefit from hearing this information. Maybe they're miserable in their life right now. Their health is not good. They suffer from migraines. They suffer from all kinds of imbalances. And you're like, wait a minute, there's help out there that's not just, you know, popping a bunch of pills. So share it, you know, share the information with them and give us comments. Let us know what your feedback is, what you think. And we'd love to hear. If you have a topic that you'd like to see me cover on the Brain Lady Speaks show, maybe you've read a book, maybe you've heard a speaker and you'd like for me to try to connect with them and get them on the program, then by all means, shoot us an email at info@brainladyspeaker.com. And that's brainladyspeaker.com. And we'll do our best to cover that topic for you and look into the information that you send us. Any other thoughts or concerns, then of course, send it to info@brainladyspeaker.com. And until next week, follow me on social. Yeah, I'm Brain Lady Julie pretty much everywhere. So Instagram, Facebook, all over the place. It's Brain Lady Julie. I think Twitter, it's just Brain Lady, but at any rate, stay connected. We'd love to hear from you. And until next week, I want everybody to just take a nice deep breath. There was a lot of information today, a lot of things that we are doing. Oh, yeah, we just started our TikTok channel. I think we have two whole videos on there right now. But yeah, join us there as well. But until, roll your shoulders back, take a deep breath, a nice deep breath. Go out there, get some sunshine. If you don't have sunshine where you're at, then just take some nice deep breaths of fresh air and simply enjoy every moment.